This is Audible.
Penguin Random House Audio presents The Happy Sleeper, the science-backed guide to helping your baby get a good night's sleep, newborn to school age. Written and read by Heather Turgeon and Julie Wright. Publisher's note. This audiobook includes a bonus PDF of worksheets and charts, which can be viewed on any PC or Mac computer. Foreword by Dr. Daniel J. Siegel. Compassionate, courageous, and creative, The Happy Sleeper is a book for every parent of a young child to savor in its magnificent exploration of effective strategies for helping children get to bed smoothly and sleep well through the night. Heather Turgeon and Julie Wright have written a user-friendly, scientifically informed, practical guide that provides the information and intention you need to cultivate healthy sleeping habits, not only for your child, but for yourself as well. Why is sleep so important? It is during sleep that we secrete the growth hormones our bodies need to grow and replenish themselves well. Sleep also allows our body and brain to rest and recover from the day's activities. Recent studies have revealed, too, that during sleep, our brains, in effect, clean themselves up, removing unhelpful byproducts of the day's neural activity so that we can function well when we're awake. Given all of this, it's no surprise that babies and children need so many hours of sleep as they grow. Infants and toddlers sleep half their day or more. In childhood, the amount of optimal sleep gradually decreases, but school-aged children still need roughly 10 hours of sleep. Even as adults, we should spend about a third of our time sleeping. Without the proper amount and quality of sleep, science reveals, we will have difficulty focusing, remembering, and calming our emotions. When we haven't slept well, we don't learn or operate as effectively because our brain hasn't had the necessary sleep time to optimize its functioning. Even more, without proper sleep, our immune system does not function well. And so we can become vulnerable to infectious diseases. And our metabolic system doesn't function optimally, so we can be prone to overeat and not process food well, putting us at risk for obesity and diabetes. For each of these reasons, sleep is one of the most important activities we humans participate in. And as parents, helping our children develop good sleep hygiene is one of the most important contributions we can make to their well-being. In this fabulous guide, you'll learn to take important findings from sleep research and combine them with a crucial working knowledge of attachment research so that you'll optimize not only your children's sleep habits, but also their attachment to you. Attachment is all about providing security for your children through anticipating their inner needs, making them feel safe, and communicating with them in a soothing manner. Heather Turgeon and Julie Wright are brilliant sleep whisperers. With decades of experience helping parents cultivate secure attachment while simultaneously shaping healthy sleep habits. That's exactly the combination studies suggest is the win-win-win of effective parenting. Give your children the relationship security they need while also providing them the structure they require to sleep well and thrive. And all this while you too get some important rest. You'll learn in these pages what science and clinical wisdom have to tell us about how to keep the relationship with your child filled with compassionate communication while also structuring healthy sleep strategies. You'll discover how you can nurture emotional understanding between you and your child while at the same time implementing behavioral strategies that ensure they get the sleep they need. The authors provide you with a framework that will leave you feeling confident in the positive outcome of your approach. This is a plan that works. Parenting is one of the most challenging roles one can play in life, It's tricky to know when to hold our children close and when to let them venture out on their own to learn important skills, such as the self-soothing techniques that will help them be happy sleepers for the rest of their lives. Having this book as your companion, you will gain the clarity and conviction necessary to build a secure relationship with your child, and in turn, to help them build a secure relationship with themselves and their broader community. Read on, connect with compassion, creativity, and courage, and sleep well. Introduction. Your baby already knows how to sleep. Our clients are always shocked when they hear this. They've been breaking a sweat, rocking their baby into a deep slumber, waking up every 2 hours to feed throughout the night, or wringing their hands in frustration with a wide-eyed, nap-resistant toddler. But it's true. Sleep is a basic action that babies are naturally born to do. Their bodies crave healthy sleep, and their brains are wired for it. By 5 or 6 months of age, almost all babies are capable of sleeping well without much assistance from mom or dad. So why do so many families struggle at night? The answer is that most parents do what works today, don't notice when it's no longer needed tomorrow, and then keep pushing even harder when it's become a hindrance the day after that. They work overtime with all kinds of fanfare and tricks to put their babies to bed. We've heard it all. Parents feeding, rocking, and bouncing on a yoga ball for 45 minutes every night, lying down with kids, retucking, and refilling water glasses endlessly. One couple even told us they found themselves putting on a full music show with guitars singing and lights every night before bedtime. Over time, parents' helping ways overshadow their baby's natural sleep abilities. Children get confused as to whether they or their parents are doing the soothing, and parents aren't sure when and how much to back off so their little ones can take over the job. The Happy Sleeper is the guide to doing just that. We will give you a clear, easy-to-follow system for transferring the role of independent sleep to your baby or child, as we've done for thousands of families in our practice. If you're consistent in how you apply the methods in this book, your baby or child's sleep will improve dramatically within 1 to 2 weeks. Good sleep is in their genes. Kids don't need to be trained to sleep. They're built to sleep. Think about it. Sleep is like other areas of development, and you know how quickly your baby learns. Within a year, a baby can sit, pull to stand, and maybe take her first steps. She understands language, and soon she'll speak in sentences. Almost overnight, she's a master in all realms. So why should sleep be any different? But over and over in our practice, we see that it is. Children take off in their motor, social, cognitive, and language skills, while sleep skills stall and even decline as the months go on. It's a common course for little kids. They show robust, thriving development in all other domains, but actually regress in their ability to sleep. In the early months, this happens when a soothing technique like nursing or rocking to sleep works and becomes your go-to habit, and we don't blame you. The problem is that while newborns often need these soothing devices, they outgrow this need quickly as their natural self-soothing abilities grow, sometimes within a matter of days or weeks. With toddlers and kids, the same idea applies. We know that they can sleep, but milestones and life transitions, learning to climb out of the crib, starting preschool, or having nightmares, rock the boat just enough to warrant a new trick, like lying down with them until they doze off, that kids quickly become reliant on. As parents get stuck in a habit of soothing their little one to sleep, It masks the child's natural abilities and makes it look as if she can't sleep on her own. Imagine your child was capable of walking, but you still carried her everywhere instead of letting her practice this new skill. This overhelping is the crux of family sleep problems. Eventually, parents become exasperated while baby's sleep potential has actually been stifled. Why we wrote this book. We wrote this book to help solve a dilemma. Over and over in our parenting groups, we've seen moms and dads work diligently to be responsive and nurturing around sleep, only to become frustrated, exhausted, and confused as their baby's sleep gets worse instead of better. These parents feel stuck, and many reach the end of their rope and turn to a harsh, shut-the-door-and-don't-go-in approach. We know that sleep is a natural, hardwired function that shouldn't be so difficult. As clinicians who follow science and new thinking on child development, we realize why sleep was stumping so many families. It's the same overhelping or helicopter parenting dilemma that parents find themselves in elsewhere. Logic tells us, and research confirms, that overhelping doesn't work. When we do things for our babies and kids that they are capable of doing for themselves, it keeps them from developing to their potential. In this case, their sleep potential. The problem is that as parents, we don't know how to stop overhelping while still being warm and supportive to our kids. The topic of baby sleep needs a fresh perspective. It's been bogged down in old-school notions like training and misunderstandings of basic concepts like attachment. In this book, we take an integrated approach that is sensitive, simple, and truly effective. We don't want anyone suffering sleep deprivation unnecessarily, nor do we ever want a baby to feel alone or fearful. Happily, neither of these ever needs to happen. Our methods are based on two logical, research-based ideas. One, babies and little kids need warmth, sensitivity, and a sense that the world is a safe place. Two, they thrive best and sleep best when they have structure, routine, and clear expectations. When we work with parents to fix a sleep issue, we always locate the solution in one of these two places. If one of these is missing, a child's sleep ends up falling short of what she's developmentally capable of. A 10-month-old baby waking every 1 to 2 hours at night, you'd be surprised how many we've met. An 18-month-old who only naps in a stroller, or a child refusing to fall asleep unless mom or dad snuggles up too. These parents swear that their child's not capable or is just a bad sleeper. But when we craft a sleep plan together, as we'll do in this book, within a week or two, their baby is sleeping 11 hours straight, their toddler is taking a beautiful 2-hour nap in her crib, or their child is kissing them goodnight, grabbing his stuffed animal, rolling over, and falling asleep on his own. Sleep affects virtually every part of your child's life. Well-rested babies and kids are emotionally balanced, flexible, and creative. They're healthier, they think clearly, and retain information better. When your child sleeps well, she and you feel the ripples of this everywhere. It's amazing to see how good sleep transforms a family. How to use this book. Chapter 1 is an introduction to childhood sleep issues, including information about how much sleep your baby or child needs. Chapter 2 outlines the happy sleeper approach to good sleep for all ages, babies, toddlers, preschoolers, and young school-age kids. This chapter explains the underlying ideas that all our methods are based on. Chapters 3 to 5 have all the practical information, steps, and methods you need for your child's particular age and for any issue or goal you have with sleep. Chapter 3 is for babies 0 to 4 months old. Chapter 4 is for babies 5 to 24 months old. Chapter 5 is for children 2 to 6 years old. Chapters 3 to 5 are organized this way. Section 1, Healthy Sleep Habits. This is the foundation for good sleep. If you put these habits in place, your child will have the best chance of sleeping well, both now and in the long run. Even if you're looking for the answer to a specific problem, don't skip over this section. These habits strongly influence the quality of your child's sleep. Section 2, Sleep Solutions. For every sleep issue in your child's age range, we have a solution that is responsive and supportive and keeps your baby or child in charge of soothing and independent sleep, with the exception of little babies ages 0 to 4 months, who are gradually growing into this capacity. Section 3, Troubleshooting. What to do about teething, motor milestones, potty training, sleep regressions, and more. The last section of each chapter answers common questions that arise for your child's age. Chapter 6 addresses special situations like bed sharing, traveling, and other arrangements and circumstances that can change the way your child sleeps. Chapter 7 will help you, the parents, sleep well. We see too many parents sacrificing their own sleep needs. We want to help you make sleep a priority for you, not just your child. Chapter 8 explains the science of sleep and how sleep develops over the first years of life. The appendix has tools for creating your child's schedule, tracking progress on your sleep plan, and more. You'll find more helpful tools on our website, www.thehappysleeper.com. The entire appendix is available on the PDF that accompanies this audiobook.
Chapter 1, The Happy Sleeper. Do any of these scenarios sound familiar? You feed or rock your baby until she's fast asleep, lower her gently into her crib, and tiptoe out of the room. 2 hours later, she's awake and calling for you. It's past bedtime, but your toddler runs when you try to put his PJs on him, breaks down in tears over brushing teeth, and summons you back into the room repeatedly for more water, another song, and different stuffed animal configurations. You have to lie down with your little one until he falls asleep, which can take up to 45 minutes, and sometimes you doze off too. Your baby will only nap in the stroller, car, or with you carrying her. Your child stays up too late and you suspect he's not getting enough sleep, but you can't figure out how to get him into bed earlier. Your child calls out to you at night and needs you to sleep with her or to join you in your bed. You and your partner are so exhausted you can barely function, much less be present or happy with your baby during waking hours. Sleep is a basic building block of your family's health and happiness, just like good food and regular exercise. Sleep is about as natural as it comes. In fact, kids are literally built to do it. Their brains are programmed to develop good sleep from the time they're babies. Your child wants to sleep, and with the right patterns in place, her natural abilities will surprise you. Nap time, bedtime, and sleeping through the night, they don't have to be a big struggle or a source of anxiety. As easy as it is to disrupt sleep and create unhealthy sleep habits, it's achievable and often very quick to get back on the right track. Consider this scene. You help your baby wind down after her last feeding. You give her a bath and put on her PJs. After a few stories, a few cuddles, and a song, you kiss her goodnight, lower her into her crib, and leave the room. Your happy sleeper rolls over, grabs her lovey, moves into a comfortable sleep position, and drifts off until the next morning. You have time to yourself to eat dinner, read a book, or spend time with your partner before going to bed and getting a full night's sleep. If your baby is at least 5 months and you follow our approach consistently, you can go from one of the cumbersome patterns mentioned earlier to this happy sleeper scene in roughly 1 to 2 weeks. If your baby's under 5 months, we'll show you how to move in this direction. And if you read and adopt our fundamental concepts, your family will have a solid sleep foundation for years to come. It's a myth that sleep is always a struggle and that changing sleep patterns is very hard. If you have a clear plan, your family's sleep can improve quickly. Good sleep not only makes life more peaceful and enjoyable, it's a basic need that affects your child's happiness, success, and health. Insufficient sleep is like having a big piece of your life's foundation missing. It's like walking around while your body starves for food or water. Did you know napping helps babies learn and remember language? Missing sleep compromises the brain's prefrontal cortex, which our kids need for decision-making, attention, and emotional control. Little kids who sleep fewer than 10 hours a night are twice as likely to have low scores on cognitive tests when they enter school. Too little sleep in childhood increases the risk of obesity. Caffeinated drinks are consumed by lots of sleepy adults, and if you can believe it, kids. The American Academy of Pediatrics notes that children ages 6 to 10 drink caffeinated beverages 8 out of 10 days. One study found that two-thirds of children ages 2 to 5 consume drinks like soda and tea. Sleepy Nation, you are not alone. Little kids are losing critical hours of sleep. It's estimated that babies and young children get an average of 9.5 hours of sleep per night, although experts agree that they need 11 to 12 hours. And roughly one-third of kids have clinical sleep problems. A poll from the National Sleep Foundation found that half of infants and a third of toddlers get less sleep than their parents think they need. 75% of parents with infants and 82% of parents with preschoolers say that they would change something about their child's sleep. Why don't kids sleep enough? There are lots of answers to this question, but here are two of the most common. Number one, we get confusing messages about sleep. Cry it out, tough love, feed on demand, co-sleep. Parenting approaches seem to contradict one another, and they leave many families puzzled and sleepless. Number two, we're busy. Life is bursting at the seams. Especially for families with older children, homework, technology, activities, and work schedules make it hard to protect aspects of healthy sleep, like early, consistent bedtimes. Artificial lights and electronics delay sleep for children and adults, keeping us all up past our optimal bedtimes. Even though sleep should come naturally, our modern lives easily disrupt it. Kids don't necessarily grow out of sleep issues either. In fact, research suggests that a significant percentage of young children with sleep disruptions still have them years later. On the other hand, when you develop healthy sleep habits early, they grow with your child. Imagine that your baby, who is a self-soother, turns into a happy preschooler who feels confident and knows what to do when the lights go out. A school-aged child who can have a sleepover at a friend's house, and eventually a well-rested and sharp teen who's set up for success. It's not an overstatement to say that the positive sleep foundation you establish for your young child will be the one that he has throughout his life. How much sleep do you really need? Newborns ages 0 to 2 months need 12 to 18 hours of sleep. Infants ages 3 to 11 months need 14 to 15 hours of sleep. Toddlers ages 1 to 3 years need 12 to 14 hours of sleep. Preschoolers ages 3 to 5 years need 11 to 13 hours of sleep. School-age children ages 5 to 10 years need 10 to 11 hours of sleep. Teens ages 10 to 17 need 8.5 to 9.25 hours of sleep, and adults need 7 to 9 hours. Just as with adults, children vary in how much sleep they need to function at their best, which is why there is a range instead of a magic number. But almost all children consistently need this amount of sleep in a 24-hour period. It's a lot of sleep, roughly half of your child's life or more. A very small percentage of people are thought to be short sleepers, or those who require less sleep than the rest of us. If your child seems fine with less than the recommended amount of sleep, you might be surprised that she does even better with 30 to 60 minutes more. Think about the fact that your goal is not just a child who is functioning, but one who is optimally alert, creative, and balanced. How to tell if your child is getting enough sleep. It can be tricky to tell whether your child is well-rested because kids rarely communicate this clearly. Insufficient sleep in children is hard to spot for two reasons. The first one is that babies and little kids don't wind down when they're tired. They wind up. Anyone who's watched overtired kids run circles around a bouncy house or throw a tantrum insisting on more television before bed will tell you this is true. Babies get overstimulated and fussy when they're tired. Sleep loss in older children is linked with symptoms of ADHD. The second reason is that kids aren't good judges of their own sleepiness. In one well-known set of children's sleep studies at Stanford, when kids' sleep was restricted to just 4 hours a night, they still didn't say they were sleepy. You really can't count on your child to tell you when he's tired. He needs you to help him wind down and sleep. Overt sleepiness is especially hard to detect when little ones are on the move. Sometimes it's only obvious when they finally sit still. For example, riding in a car or sitting on the couch reading a book. This is when you'll see signs of drowsiness, like your child rubbing his eyes or staring into space. Here's how you can tell whether you have a well-rested or a sleepy child on your hands. Think about the ones that apply to your child. Signs of a sleep-deprived child are things like needs to be woken up in the morning, hyperactive, inattentive, moody, impulsive, or aggressive, falls asleep before scheduled naps if taken on a walk or on a car ride, sleeps in on the weekends, falls asleep in school, or becomes clumsy, irritable, or easily frustrated. Signs of a well-rested child are things like wakes up naturally, alert most of the day or until nap time, doesn't fall asleep in the stroller or the car during the day in between nap times, has more or less the same sleep schedule on the weekdays and the weekends, has the same nap schedule at home and at daycare or preschool. What if your child does get enough sleep overall, but it happens in a way that isn't working for the family? For example, your baby needs to be rocked and bounced for 30 minutes, or your toddler's bedtime is a dragged-out affair of requests for water, bonus potty trips, and just one more story. Maybe your baby will fall asleep only with you in the bed, or will only nap in the stroller. In this case, your child might get enough hours of sleep total, but the manner in which he does it is disruptive or challenging, and it involves you overhelping, so he isn't accessing his self-soothing abilities. These are important issues to address. Good sleep isn't just about hitting the numbers. It's about setting up habits and routines in your house that feel good for everyone. Throughout this audiobook, we'll not only help you achieve long and consistent sleep for your baby or child, we'll also walk you through how to make healthy sleep easy and pleasant. Yes, you heard that right. For the whole family. Good sleep equals successful, happy, and healthy. Watch your child sleep. Eyes fluttering, arms limp, legs tucked up, it's a beautiful and peaceful thing. We tend to think of falling asleep as shutting down and feel incredible relief as parents when our kids finally do, but actually sleep is not your child's off mode. Transitioning into sleep turns on a whole host of vital activities in your child's brain and body. For example, when your child enters deep sleep, growth hormones are secreted that allow cells to divide and tissues to repair and regenerate. During sleep, memories are consolidated, and your child processes information learned during the day. Even if you think you know the value of good sleep, you'll probably be surprised to find out just how much sleep affects different areas of your child's mental and physical health. Learning and academic success. It's a simple fact at any age, newborn, preschool, or teenager. Good sleep makes for a higher achieving child. In one well-known experiment, researchers restricted or extended the sleep of school-age kids by 30 minutes and found that it had a significant impact on their reaction time, attention, and memory. In fact, the difference of 1 hour between the two groups made an impact that was equivalent to 2 years of academic level. One of the best predictors of a child's success in school is her level of executive function, or the ability to manage emotions, behaviors, and thinking. And this skill is very sensitive to sleep loss. Many studies have shown that even after a modest decrease in sleep, the brain's prefrontal cortex, the hub of executive function, becomes less active. Sleepy kids can do all the basics, talk, eat, run around, play, but sophisticated thinking, impulse control, and creativity go steadily downhill. When your child sleeps, certain connections between brain cells are strengthened, while others are pruned or lost. This is an important part of development because the brain is refining its circuits and prioritizing what it needs most. This essentially remodels the brain and consolidates the information learned while awake. Babies have an intense need for sleep, which is probably because they have so much to learn. Infants learn language better after a nap, and preschool children's spatial learning is boosted by a midday nap. From the ages of 2.5 to 6 years, short sleep, which is fewer than 10 hours per night, has been linked to lower vocabulary and nonverbal intellectual skills. And this is even true of kids who catch up later to their peers in sleep duration. In other words, missing sleep early in life may have a lasting impact. Behavior and emotions. As an adult, how do you feel and act when you're tired? You probably think and move slowly. You want to curl up, power down, and recharge. Your bed calls to you. Sleepy kids don't respond this way to being tired, or necessarily even know that they're tired. Instead, they become stressed, wind up, and get a second wind. Psychologists continue to find connections between sleep and ADHD. Children with sleep issues have a higher prevalence of hyperactivity and attention problems. And vice versa, kids with ADHD-like symptoms are at higher risk for sleep problems. Kids with ADHD also tend to be sleepier during the day, which might explain why stimulant medications seem to help. In fact, studies also suggest that treating sleep problems may be enough to eliminate hyperactivity and attention issues for some children. This benefit applies to kids without any diagnosed attention or behavior problems, too. One experiment showed that adding just 30 minutes more sleep per night made a significant improvement for kids without any history of behavioral issues in how restless, impulsive, and moody children were. Reducing sleep by 50 minutes had the opposite effect. Health. Too little sleep is linked to weight gain in both kids and adults, and children who have short sleep durations are at higher risk for obesity when they grow up. Sleep loss disrupts chemicals in the body that regulate appetite and metabolism. Insufficient sleep also raises the risk of hypertension and can affect the immune system, which may be why kids are more likely to get sick. Parents' life. Parents lose about 350 hours of nighttime sleep in the first year of their baby's life. In a National Sleep Foundation poll, almost two-thirds of parents, even those with toddlers and preschoolers, reported getting less sleep than they need. To some extent, this is just how it goes. A baby naturally turns your sleep schedule upside down for a few months. Thankfully, parents can adapt. We seem biologically capable of flexing around a newborn's every two-hour waking pattern, being alert enough to tend to our babies at night and still managing to go about our daily lives. The problem is that for some parents, the initial sleep loss in the first few months becomes the new normal in the months and years that follow. Parents end up carrying a significant amount of sleep debt because they accumulate missed hours of sleep over time without ever getting the chance to fully pay it back. People with children of all ages are roughly twice as likely than those without kids to say they're not sleeping enough, and that they're unable to do activities like exercise because they're too sleepy. Subpar sleep also makes parents irritable, impatient, and less productive. It can make small tasks seem insurmountable, and even worse, it keeps us from enjoying and connecting with our kids. Here's how parents describe sleep deprivation. I feel underwater and blurry, panicked and overwhelmed. I feel on edge, easily angered, forgetful. It's like I'm in a fog and emotional. I feel grumpy and hungry. I feel disoriented and off. Everything's harder on those days, especially remembering to smile. I feel cranky, depleted, foggy, impatient, and unavailable. I feel dread and nervousness as the evening sets in. It's like a piece is missing. 10-month-old Evan and his exhausted parents. Joanna. When Evan was 10 months old, his sleep regressed dramatically, and I found myself nursing him to sleep each night, even though we had cut this out of our routine 5 months prior. This put him to sleep for an initial 5-hour stretch, but after that, he was waking up hourly. My husband and I felt like we were in a dark cloud of exhaustion. The hardest part was that we started to feel resentment towards him, and we were enjoying him less. Once we carried out our sleep plan, the whole family started sleeping well, and we went back to enjoying and finding so much pleasure in each other's company. Think about it this way. Working on your child's sleep is important for you, and in turn, your healthy sleep is important to your child, so you can feel available, patient, and energetic. If that's not enough, consider that poor sleep also poses a serious safety risk to your family. People with children in the house are significantly more likely to drive drowsy than those without kids. Drowsy driving is a major safety hazard. Incredibly, 37% of adults say they've fallen asleep at the wheel, and 13% of those say they do so approximately once each month. It's conservatively estimated that 100,000 police-reported crashes every year are a direct result of driver fatigue, resulting in 1,550 deaths and 71,000 injuries. The happy sleeper. Here's what makes a good sleeper. A warm, attuned parent, a pattern of self-soothing, clear family sleep habits, and a regular schedule that supports natural biological sleep mechanisms. Whether you're coming to us in a blurry, sleep-deprived crisis or you're simply trying to optimize your baby's sleep, with this audiobook, you'll have all of these in place. Using our techniques, you'll be able to fix immediate sleep issues and set up habits that support optimal sleep as your child grows. If you're conflicted about imposing a structured and harsh program to improve your child's sleep, you can stop worrying. Warm, supportive parenting and a full night of independent sleep are not mutually exclusive. We're going to show you how they work together, naturally and seamlessly. So now that we know the urgency of good sleep and elements you need to get it, let's hear about the happy sleeper approach to getting there.
Chapter 2. The Happy Sleeper Approach. Cry it out versus attachment parenting sleep methods. If you've reached out for sleep help before, you know that it can sound polarized into methods of crying it out and attachment parenting. The first emphasizes structure and independent sleep. The second tells you to be flexible and responsive to your baby's needs. These approaches seem to contradict each other. But this is a false, unhelpful divide. It makes parents unduly upset and confused because independent sleep and a loving, secure attachment are pitted against each other as if they are at odds. In psychological terms, attachment involves being there to support your little one while also encouraging her to learn, develop, and move toward independence. When you change a pattern to improve your baby or child's sleep, there is usually protesting involved. You're doing things differently and reshaping a well-entrenched habit. This is okay. If you are careful, thoughtful, and consistent in how you do this, your baby will feel supported, even though she may express big feelings about the change. And eventually, she'll learn a new pattern that helps her sleep well. Passing the job of soothing to your capable baby or child is very much in line with attachment theory. For the best sleep, you need both the consistency of structured sleep training programs and the responsiveness, or as we will call it here, the attunement of attachment-friendly ideas. The happy sleeper approach. Consistency and attunement for good sleep. In this section, we'll look at two important aspects of healthy sleep, consistency and attunement, and how they work together to produce great little sleepers. Consistency. your tiny scientist. You know that consistency is important in all realms of parenting, but do you know it's because your child's brain, even as a newborn, is set up to detect and understand patterns? Newborns acquire knowledge and skills at a breathtaking pace, and they are capable of associative learning, linking and remembering objects and events in their environment, right from the start. The pattern-seeking brain. Baby brains already have the machinery to learn and remember patterns. Your baby needs only basic lower regions of the brain, which she already has up and running, for associative learning. A 2-month-old can remember an event for a day or two. A 3-month-old can remember an event for roughly a week. But if babies are given reminders, the memory lasts far longer than this. At 6 months, development of areas like the visual cortex and the hippocampus are thought to make babies more particular and specific when it comes to associations. At this age, you might notice that if you try to change something about your routine or habits even slightly, your baby protests. This is why even the smallest babies learn patterns and habits so quickly, and why they can easily become reliant on the sights, sounds, feels, and even tastes, like a bottle before bed, in their environment when it comes to sleep. Over the first 6 months of life, babies become better and better at associative learning and are capable of remembering and linking events more strongly and specifically. The key is to use your child's natural tendency to detect patterns and form habits rather than being hampered by it. Babies and children are pattern seekers, but they also forget old patterns more quickly than adults, making space in their inner laboratories for new behaviors. This is a huge advantage when you're working on sleep. Later in this book, when you establish a pattern of your baby's self-soothing by using techniques like the soothing ladder or the sleep wave, your baby will detect and trust this pattern, let go of the old unhelpful pattern, and then turn inward to feel calm. Not only do babies and kids look for patterns, they relax when they find them, and we don't need to tell you how important relaxing is to sleep. Example of consistency. Make it work for you. Here is a 6-month-old baby who has detected a pattern that over time disrupts sleep. Your baby sleeps on a stroller walk. After a few weeks, she associates the motion of the stroller, curve of the seat, and the sounds of street noise with falling asleep. Now she seems unable to fall asleep in her flat, still, quiet crib. Here's the same baby, but now she has a pattern that helps sleep. You put your baby in her crib for naps. She associates the motion of turning her head back and forth, the feel of her lovey, and the sounds of a fan in her room with falling asleep. Her room, her crib, and her body movements give her the cues that help her sleep. Every technique we will teach you, especially for children over 5 months, requires the core element of consistency. It's not just a tip, it's a powerful fact about the way your child's brain operates. Lots of parents tell us that they've tried and tried to get their child to sleep, but when we probe for more information, we almost always find a spot of inconsistency, even a small one, that confuses the child and disrupts sleep progress. If you harness this idea when you put a sleep plan in place, you're likely to see old, unhelpful patterns fade and new, helpful ones take over within 1 to 2 weeks. Consistency in the first 3 to 4 months. a special case. The first months of life are unique in how unstructured they are. This is a time when you shouldn't feel pressured to schedule your baby's feeding and sleep. Following your baby's cues in these early months allows for the natural development of her biological sleep rhythms. It's also key to early attachment and the success of breastfeeding. Little babies need time for their nervous systems and growing bodies to mature before falling into structured routines. This time is like a honeymoon period when you can use whatever soothing methods work for you. When you respond with sensitivity to your baby's cues, she internalizes a feeling of trust and a sense that the world is a good place. In these first few months, err on the side of meeting your baby's needs. In Chapter 3, we give you specific techniques for doing this while steering clear of unhelpful sleep habits. As your baby nears 4 months, she becomes very aware and surprisingly sensitive to a predictable and regular routine. By 5 to 6 months, most babies are capable of sleeping through the night and beginning to develop a regular nap schedule. This is why we have separate chapters for babies 0 to 4 months old and those who are 5 months to 2 years. The approach you take to helping your younger baby sleep is very different from the one you can take with an older baby or toddler. Attachment and attunement. How to avoid nighttime helicopter parenting. Babies and children need our warmth, touch, and love. When we soothe our little ones and meet their needs, it builds a sense of trust and allows them to feel comfortable exploring the world. This innate, biologically programmed system is present not just in humans, but in many animals. Baby monkeys stay close to their mom and use her as a base for exploration too. This is the basis of attachment theory, one of the most important models for understanding child development. Unfortunately, in many parenting books and in the media, the term attachment is translated and misinterpreted as a stick-like glue attached at the hip idea. A lot of parents are missing the other half of the equation. A secure attachment comes from warmth and responsiveness, and it includes seeing when your child doesn't need your help and is ready for the challenges that are part of developing and learning. This is how you encourage your child to grow and become more independent over time. When it comes to sleep, parents who take the term attachment literally end up swooping in too quickly and overhelping their child, becoming like a helicopter parent at night. No wonder people think attachment parenting is exhausting, and so many who follow it end up in a sleep crisis. Parents with a balanced understanding of attachment often avoid sleep problems down the road because their baby has room to practice his sleeping abilities. Mom exhausted and stumped by attachment parenting. One day, a dear mom of a 6-month-old blurted out, "I just can't do this attachment parenting thing anymore." We asked her what she meant, and she said, "This 24/7 responding to every peep and wake up, I'm spending so much time every night getting my baby back to sleep over and over, and her sleep is not improving. It's getting worse. We're both so tired we can barely function." We see this a lot. Parents aren't given the full story about what secure attachment really means, and that it includes having an eye toward your baby's growing independence, learning, and sometimes struggle. They're diligent about helping, but over time, the baby is overly reliant on the parents and hasn't practiced her own abilities. You probably do this balancing act in other realms of parenting without even thinking about it. Imagine that your 15-month-old is working hard on a shape sorter. Her chubby little hand is jamming the pieces in just slightly askew. You're dying to nudge the piece for her, but you know she needs to struggle if she's going to learn. You might offer a word or two of encouragement, but if you swipe the circle and pop it through the designated hole, she's sure to hand the next piece right to you and ask you to do it for her again. When it comes to sleep, the same idea applies. When you do something for your child that she is able to do herself, you take away her chance to struggle and ultimately learn. This is why we use the term attunement instead of attachment, so we can be clear about the goal. To be attuned is to be present and curious, so you can watch your baby and know when to help and also when to give her space. Attuned parents are responsive while also having clear expectations. They send the message, "I'm here with you and I'm watching, but I know you can do it." You don't underhelp by shutting the door and never responding, or overhelp, lying down with your child, rocking or nursing your baby to sleep after she's outgrown this need. When you respond to your child this way, it's amazing how you'll see her sleep skills flourish. It's not because you've trained her or tricked her into sleeping well. It's because she's able to practice and develop her natural, innate ability to sleep. Pause, observe, and allow your child to find her own way. It can be tough to do this, but this is how your baby grows. Sounds logical, right? But over and over, we see that parents either skew toward overhelping or they overhelp, get fed up, and feel that they have no choice but to resort to a harsh underhelping stance. Each of the methods in these chapters gives you concrete directions for how to be responsive, but to also allow your child to stay in charge of his own self-soothing after the age of 5 months, so that he can sleep happily and independently. An attuned stance is curious, not knee-jerk. It gives children the reassurance that they have a loving, nurturing parent nearby, but it also gives them credit for what they're capable of and allows them to practice. Babies change and grow so rapidly. Attunement allows parents to maximize, instead of stifle, sleep development, because it gives their little one enough room to flex those budding skills. In the appendix, you'll see exercises to help parents build attunement and mindfulness. Example of attunement: toddler sleep troubles. Here's a scenario of a toddler who's having a very common and normal fear of the dark. Night after night, he won't fall asleep alone in his room, and you're all exhausted. Underhelping. You get frustrated and snap at him. There's nothing to be afraid of. You close the door and don't go back in even when he cries. Overhelping. You immediately lie down with your child until he falls asleep and continue to do this every time he goes to bed. Attuned plan. You and your child practice making the room dark during the day. You talk about how light and dark work and use a flashlight to play and teach about shadows. When it's time for bed, you give your child's stuffed animal 10 hugs and kisses and tell him he can get those in the night if he needs them. You say goodnight and set up 5-minute check-ons. Your baby's internal attunement. Feeling good on her own. You know how certain people seem to feel fundamentally okay when they're alone, just themselves? They're confident and comfortable in their own skin. Other people feel uneasy without distraction or company at all times. The idea of comfort and trust in oneself, known as internal attunement, is something that isn't usually communicated to parents, but it's really important. This capacity grows slowly over your child's development. It builds in the moments your baby is separate from you, when she can practice exploring and building self-confidence in her inner world, and it applies to daytime, but also nighttime patterns. In fact, when we meet teens and adults who can't sleep well or be alone in general, we wonder if this critical piece of confidence and internal attunement is underdeveloped. Instead of only sending the message, "You need me," to your child, we want to help you give her the chance to feel secure by herself and able to sleep peacefully knowing mom or dad is nearby. When our babies gradually become conscious of the feeling of comfort and trust in themselves, solving some of their own dilemmas and being okay on their own, they start to develop the inner world of their mind and a growing awareness of their unique self. This awareness of awareness, or relationship with self, is part of what makes us uniquely human and able to move through the world with kindness and compassion. Exercise. Wait, watch, and wonder, also known as let him be. This exercise is a great way to watch your baby's process of internal attunement. You see your baby staring at his hands, at the tree branches swaying outside the window, or the light dancing across the ceiling. Wait, don't do anything. Watch. Notice everything you can about what your baby is up to. Wonder, how long will he continue and what will he do next? If your baby is happy and or focused in his own little world, let him be. Don't feel as though he needs your constant stimulation and input. How about times when your baby is struggling, persisting, maybe even getting a little frustrated? Maybe he's reaching for a toy or trying to roll or crawl. Again, despite our impulse to help and rescue, the attuned response is to wait, watch, and wonder. When babies gain this confidence during the day, it strengthens their ability to access it at night. Note about attunement in the first 3 to 4 months. In the first 3 to 4 months of life, your baby's needs and patterns are unpredictable and require lots of flexibility and constant shifting on your part. Parents of newborns have a lot of wiggle room to try new things and do whatever works for their baby. During this time, you initially weigh more heavily on the responsiveness side of the equation, but over time, you will fade your help and let your baby take over. Your goal is to be curious and watch for signs that your baby can self-soothe, as every baby develops at a different pace. In Chapter 3, we will show you how to do this with tips for encouraging self-soothing and the soothing ladder. When your baby calls out, don't automatically rush in and assume that he needs to be fed. Hesitate, watch, and listen with curiosity. This gives your baby the opportunity to show you his ever-growing abilities. Yesterday, his fussing may have escalated to the point where he needed your help, but today is a new day, and if you pause, you may notice him start to suck his fingers or stroke his lovey to soothe himself. If you didn't wait a moment and watch, you would never know about this new ability. It would be like picking your baby up and carrying him every time he was about to pull to a stand and work on cruising. Note about attunement for older children. Older babies and little kids are already capable of sleeping well, even if it doesn't seem so in your house quite yet. At this point, you will still be responsive, but you will focus on passing the baton of soothing to your child and creating predictable responses and clear expectations around sleep. Attunement with older children is always loving and nurturing, but when sleep time comes, you hand over a responsibility to your very capable child.